the Sanskrit school, please? Vidya Pitam. Vidya Pitam, yes. I want to thank our Gopi Paranadana Prabhu for conducting this very important school. Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. And want to sincerely congratulate all of you who are taking a formal Sanskrit education here. I also want to greet all the devotees who came this morning and are now in a Sanskrit school. Behave well. This is a serious school, and I want to thank you for coming all the way from Vrindavan and Govindakund and from wherever you have come. I hope the brahmacharis in the Sanskrit school will not be overwhelmed with so much presence of our Matajis, overwhelmed because it's a different atmosphere than... I will talk today about a very important subject matter. I have made notes for this and require my red bag, which is somewhere. But we will first start with the prayers. Deya dhatama hava kunya vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Dana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Nana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Sira Vanachari Yamuna Sira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada. Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parabraja Kacharya Ashtata Satasi Simad His Divine Grace Sila Avetana Naravinda Sila Bhakti Vedan Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Dei Anand Kuti Vaishnavarinda Ki Dei His Confounded Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Dei Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Dei Go, Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Dei. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale. Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhyani Namaste Sarasati Deva Yuvani Vatrani Yeva Seda Sanya Vadivaskadare Sadaya Dei Krishna Hare Krishna Brahmana, the good Brahmanas, Uchuhu, said, Pata, O son of Prita Kunti, Braja, those who are born, Avita, maintainer, Sakshat, directly, Ikshvaku Iva, exactly like King Ikshvaku. Manavaha, son of Manu. Brahmanyaha, followers and respectful to the Brahmanas. Sadhyasandaha, truthful by promise. Cha, also, Ramaha, the personality of Godhead Rama, Dasharati, the son of Maharaj Dasharata, Yata, like him. For those of us who joined this section of the Bhagavatam today, this is about the blessings of learned brahmanas who, upon the birth of the future emperor Parikshit, are blessing him with profound blessings. They bless him with, you will see here in a moment, however, they do not mention that Parikshit Maharaj will have a quick death by the curse of the king, because unpleasant news are not to be divulged at the time of birth. In a way, however, Maharaj Parikshit's early departure from this world was not unpleasant news. He was becoming free from central jail. Hari Hari Bol! So, in this way, it was also not news necessary to be... I mean, they could have said he is very has a very auspicious life, and they do that. So it's not false what they say. The learned Brahmana said, "O son of Prita, this child shall be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. And as far as following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Rama, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasharatha." So they say two things, and they bless him for two things. One is he will be very successful in maintaining the future citizens, and he will also be very true to following Brahminical principles, especially the vow of truthfulness. And they give examples. Ikshvaku was a great maintainer of his citizens, and Ram was so very, very truthful to his word. So these are the two blessings. Purport. Praja means the living being who has taken his birth in the material world. Actually, the living being has no birth and also no death. But because of his separation from the service of the Lord and due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is offered a suitable body to satisfy his material desires. In doing so, one becomes conditioned by the laws of material nature. And it is this material body which is given by those laws that is changed in terms of his own work. And the living entity thus transmigrates from one body to another in 8,400,000 species of life. But due to his being the part and parcel of the Lord, he not only is maintained with all necessities of life by the Lord, but also he is protected by the Lord and his representatives, the saintly kings. It's a very important Vedic concept. The Lord directly maintains the necessities of the living entities, and indirectly he does so by the kings. Therefore, it is the kings who are seen as representatives of the Lord, Raja Rishis. Very important, as you will find this again and again. These saintly kings give protection to all the prajas, or living beings, to live and to fulfill their terms of imprisonment. Maharaj Parikshit was actually an ideal saintly king, because while touring his kingdom, he happened to see that a poor cow was about to be killed by the personified Kali, whom he at once took to task as a murderer. This means that even the animals were given protection by the saintly administrators, not from any sentimental point of view, but because those who have taken their birth in the material world have the right to live. All the saintly kings, beginning from the king of the sun globe, that's Ikshvaku, down to the king of the earth, are so inclined by the influence of the Vedic literatures. They give everyone protection. The Vedic literatures are taught in higher planets also, as there is reference in the Bhagavad Gita about the teachings to the sun god by the Lord, and such lessons are transferred by the cyclic succession as it was done by the sun god to his son Manu and from Manu to Maharaj Ikshvaku. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and the Manu referred to herein is the seventh Manu, who is one of the Prajapatis, those who create progeny, and he is the son of the sun god. He is known as the Vaivasvata Manu. He had 10 sons, and Maharaj Ikshvaku is one of them. Maharaj Ikshvaku also learned Bhakti Yoga as taught in the Bhagavad Gita from his father Manu, who got it from his father, the sun god. Later on, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita came down by disciplic succession from Maharaj Ikshvaku, but in course of time the chain was broken by unscrupulous persons, and therefore it again had to be taught to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So all the Vedic literatures are current from the very beginning of creation of the material world, and thus the Vedic literatures are known as apurusheya, not made by men. The Vedic knowledge was spoken by the Lord and first heard by Brahma, the first created living being within the universe. Today is a very, very long purport, and I leave it up to the next speaker to either conclude this purport or to continue with the next shloka. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this verse, which is a verse out of a series of verses who are carrying the same mood, the learned brahmanas bless Parikshit Maharaj, the young child who was just born, with powerful blessings. Today, I would like to speak about the power of blessings and the importance of blessings in our spiritual life and in our studies of Vedic scripture. Let me first of all introduce to you a very important concept which helps us in understanding the speciality of these apurusheya scriptures, these scriptures which are not born from the mind of any man, but who are directly born from the Lord, who has either spoken them directly or who has inspired these scriptures into the hearts of rishis, These scriptures, it's very important for us to understand, are not born from the mind of any human. Therefore, to understand them, a human mind is not the sufficiently powerful instrument. You cannot enter the understanding of the scriptures alone with your intelligence. You need a special ingredient, a special help, which helps you to really come to the essence of the scriptures. Now, to explain this, the saints have used the word the spota theory. The scriptures are something which is like a spota. Let me ask Gopi Parana Prabhu, what would be the direct translation of spota?
Explosion.
Yes.
Of flesh.
The spota theory means that just like something becomes revealed to you by an explosion, in the same way the scriptures become revealed to you by breaking up, you could say. If I have how do we say this in English? In Deutsch, it is a Knallkörper, that is an explosive body. Uh-huh. When the explosion comes, then you only, I have to hide this, you would be able to see what is inside here. Nityananda, you can try to see what is inside, but it is not revealed to your eyes, only when it explodes. First, this would come out, a piece of paper. There is a new song which I want to learn. If you want to know how it goes, is Giri Hari Syam Hari Murari Syam Apyari Govardhanadhari. You did not know that this is inside glass case. You would have maybe speculated that this is inside a little towel to wipe the glasses so that one can see very clearly. But I cannot think that anyone would have said Giri Hari Syam Hari Murari Syam Apyari Govardhanadhari Govinda Gopashi Radha Radha Nath Priya Priya Tang Shi Syama Syam, and so on and so forth. I can see Nityananda goes already, I would like to learn this song. Yeah. So in the same way, the Vedic scriptures need to reveal themselves. They need to open so that the hidden meaning can be explained. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati distinguishes between two meanings. And one, the hidden meaning, is the one which is the real deep meaning of the Vedic scripture, which is revealed to you revealed only when the meaning breaks open to you. I would like to give you an example because this is so absolutely important in our understanding. The Vedic scriptures have a shade of a meaning. This is how they explain. A shade which falls, let me say, a shade of a fruit falls on marble. If you would try to eat that shade, that reflection on the marble, you would only break your teeth. Only the real fruit, which is up there in the tree, can give you nourishment, taste, and refreshment. So what you can understand from the Vedic scripture with your mind is only the reflected, the mentally reflected meaning. It is on matter reflected, on the material mind. It is not the real meaning. If you try to relish this, become nourished by it, become refreshed by it, it wouldn't work. You would only break your teeth. You would become frustrated. Like so many Vedic pundits who talk about the shadeful meaning, the shade meaning of the Vedic scriptures. Only when this opens to you, the Vedic scriptures open to you, can you understand the real meaning, what's inside. Can you understand Krishna? There is, of course, this verse which all of you know. Now, let me first say, how does the spota happen? How does the Vedic scripture, so to say, explode or break open or reveal itself? Only by blessings. By blessings of the spiritual master will you be able to understand the deep meaning of the Vedic scripture. Will you get the fruit of the Vedic scripture, which is touched by the beak of Shukadev Goswami, and which is full of rasa. Full of, that means a wonderful relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The blessings of the Vedic, of the spiritual master are absolutely required so that the revelation of the Vedic scripture, the opening, takes place. Absolutely. It's like, you know, you have this explosive. What we call this in proper English, this thing which you can buy in the shop, it's like you put fire to it and then it goes cracker. Yeah, and so and something more sophisticated than a cracker, what? Fireworks. Yeah, only if there is a spark coming on that thing made from paper, and you know, will you see colors and different circles in the sky, and what is hidden inside? The spark of the blessing is required. Therefore, the brahmacharis who study the Vedic scriptures as their main goal have to be servants of their spiritual master. And I very much like that in our school, the day of study starts always with prayers and offering of flowers to the spiritual master in the Guru Puja. Very important. Without this blessing of a Vaishnav, the Vedic scriptures will be closed for you forever. The meaning will never reveal itself. And when you nevertheless try to taste the Vedic scriptures, you won't taste the mango which has been touched by Shukadev Goswami and the rasa which is therein, but you will become bored, frustrated, and break your teeth. This spota theory, this spota understanding is very important. The blessings will open the scriptures for you so that you know what is really inside, and do not just get a reflection, a shade on the material mind, which is a totally external meaning. My dear devotees, I cannot really tell you how absolutely important this is. We had once in Sweden a devotee who had decided to rely on his own intellectual speculations or intellectual understandings of the Vedic scriptures, and who criticized Srila Prabhupada's purpose with his intellect, which was we must say a rather developed material intellect. It was But he could not really understand how Srila Prabhupada's purport were, because he had consciously turned against him and had taken shelter in the shade. And I remember there was an article written by Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, who showed in the article how Srila Prabhupada's understanding were very much following previous acharyas, but how this was not always recognized by the mundane intellect of that devotee, which was a good which was a material intellect, but which could not understand it. I do remember having heard about this and then reading Gopi Paranadana Prabhu's very interesting article, well researched article, and so on. So yes, this is an important understanding which I wanted to share with you. There is a shloka in this connection which you all know: only those who have implicit faith in both the Guru and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to them all the imports of the Vedic scriptures are automatically revealed. I must say, since I had a surgery done 2 years ago, my memory is slowly coming back, but it starts Yata Deva Tata Guru. Was it? Yes, Yata Deva Tata Guru. Tata Deva. Gata. So please again, loud and good. Each line. Yasya deva tata parabhaktiya. Yasya deva parabhaktiya. Yata deva tata guru tas yaita katita hyata prakashante. Prakash, revealed. Like light. Like a sputa which breaks up. Prakashante mahatmana. Thank you. Those who have implicit faith in the Guru and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to them the meaning of the Vedas will be automatically prakash, like light, revealed. You need faith to obtain blessings. If you have no faith and you say, I want your blessings, the blessings might even be given, but they will not enter your heart, which does not have faith in the blessing. They will not fully enter. So there's an example of a learner, that is a student of the Vedic knowledge, who begged incessantly for blessings, and the blessings were given so that he could understand the meaning. And there are actually two examples, and I would like to tell you one, because the other will agitate you very much. It's from the Shankara Sampradaya. You know, Sanatan Goswami heard in Dashwamedha Ghat, explanations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and after he had heard very keenly and very carefully about the descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked for blessings. He said, please, the conclusions which you have told me, Mahaprabhu, are the ambrosia of truth. My mind is unable to approach even a drop of that ocean. My dear devotees, he was intelligent. He was in fact chosen to be a minister purely on the strength of his intelligence, He built a building for Nawab Hussein Shah and solved an architectural problem which was unsolvable by the best of scholars at that time, very easily. But he says, my mind is unable to approach even a drop of that ocean, what you have told me. If you want to make a layman like me dance, kindly bestow your transcendental blessings by placing your lotus feet upon my head. And then he says, the Mahaprabhu does this. He motions him and he puts his both lotus feet on his head. Ooh, Krishna. Now, then Sanatana Goswami continues, now will you please tell me, let whatever I have instructed all be fully manifest unto you. By blessing me in this way, you will give me strength to describe all this in the future. And see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just overwhelmed with this faith that he said, let all these instructions be manifested to you. And this is why how Sanatana Goswami could really, first of all, understand the Vedic scripture by this opening effect. He could see what is in there. Yidit Hari Syam Hari Murari Syam Apyari Govardhanadhari. He could understand. And in this way, he became the famous Sambandha Acharya, who gave us his work Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is an exact description about sadhya and sadhana for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas since time immemorial. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, now I will approach the subject matter of blessings from another way. See, you may know many things, but all this knowledge will be tested. And if the knowledge is not manifested to you at that time in your heart, if it's not present, your knowledge will not be of benefit for you. Can you please put a little hot water in there? My dear devotees, Krishna tests all his truthful devotees. That is an eternal fact of bhakti, because this is how Krishna helps the devotees to take full shelter in him. Prabhupada writes many, many times in his scriptures about this mood of the Lord, how he put the Pandavas to a test by having them banished into the forest, how he put Draupadi to a test by having her insulted in a public assembly. Every one of us will put to a test, Prabhupada says, so that no nonsense will go into the spiritual world. And at that time, knowledge can't be theoretical. It must be practical. It must be practical. Now, I had just such a personal situation in my own life where I came to Vrindavan to follow the Kartik Vrata. And in that Kartik Vrata, during this Kartik Vrata, an old physical problem came again manifest to a degree that it was intolerable. And at that time, when the pain was just so intense that it began to spread to the intellect and to everything else, I noticed theoretical understanding of I'm not the body does not help me. I also became reminded that at the time of death, that's an examination of our sadhana. And if the knowledge which we have heard from the scripture at that time is not prakashanti, does not illuminate in our heart, is not spreading in our heart, it is as if it is not present. Srila Prabhupada talks about this in relationship to the eternal soul. We are all an eternal soul, but due to being overwhelmed by the material energy, we are many people are not aware of being the eternal soul, and as a result, it is as if the soul is a lost item to which they have no connection. Prabhuji, I have counted. This is the tenth time where you fell asleep. This is the record in my lectures. That you have broken it today. So maybe you want to stand a little, because I mean it would be embarrassing if you fall 20 times to rest. I will remind others of you also. I have noted some others, but this was the record really. So this theoretical knowledge is like the soul is for a kami. He has no access to it, especially at times of a test. See, there are two types of understanding. One is an understanding which happens in the outer mind, where the mental functions of sankalpa and vikalpa take place, and another understanding is in the core of the heart, which some psychologists refer to as the chetana, or the chitta. I heard others have other words for it, but the deepest core of the heart. We say, we pray that may this knowledge be revealed to me in the deepest core of my heart, because there I will not forget it. There, it will be there when I'm tested. There, it will not leave me. There, it will not be theoretical. There, it will be something substantial. There, in the deeper core of your heart, Madan Mohan, it will be with you all the time, even at the time of death. Blessings carry the knowledge which we have heard from the outer surface of the mind into the deep heart, where it will be realized, where it will be with us, where it will manifest like the flame which is kindled in our heart. This is another aspect of blessing. It carries it deeper than into the functions of sankalpa and vikalpa. So first of all, by blessings only the Vedic knowledge is revealed, and by blessings only it is brought into the deepest core of our heart, where it will stay with us. We need blessings for both of these functions. We need blessings to first of all understand, and then to bring the understanding really where it stays with us. It's so important. For understanding Vedic knowledge, the mind is not very useful. Do you know this? This is now extremely provocative statement. I'm trying to make the last sleeping souls with this statement. The material mind is not very useful. Only someone whose thoughts have been blessed and have been imbued with the power of blessing will be able to understand this knowledge. There are many, many examples in the Vedic lore. Lore means something like history, where people who
had been blessed with the Vedic understanding, would argue with different scholars and would defeat them, although these scholars were practically undefeatable by any material calculations, because they really knew so much and they could retain it with their amazing and astonishing power of memory, which was really amazing. Almost, we would call in the Western world, it was a photographic memory. So I would like to now go to a next point. Last point is, my third point is, my dear devotees, you, how can someone be powerful to give enough to give blessings of understanding, to understand? These brahmanas would say, may you be, he will be exactly like King Ikshvaku in maintaining all those who are born. And he will be able to follow the Brahminical principles, especially being true to his promise, like Rama. How are these Brahmanas able to say this and it becomes a fact? By being followers of the Vedic principles itself, the Vedic scriptures, in other words, with their Vedic principles, become realized by those who follow them and faithfully, and then and therefore you need the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam, who has absorbed the book Bhagavatam, to understand the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada used to say sometimes things to us which for me were always I was always thinking when I was young and immature, maybe I was wondering how this is true. He, for instance, said, if you come for 14 years every day to the Mangal Arati, every word which you will speak will be true. He said things like this. Or he said also other things. That was a fashion in our movement, that if you recite every day without fault the second chapter of the first canto, I think it's called Scheduled Incarnations of the Lord in Prabhupada's descriptions, then you will become a great scholar of the Vedic scriptures. He pointed us, his disciples, towards following the Vedic scriptures, knowing if we would do so, we would become imbued with a special potency, a special power. My dear devotees, I cannot stress to you how important it is for you who study the Vedic scriptures to have an impeccable behavior, acharya it's called. Because if you do have an impeccable devotional behavior in your life, you will get this superior power so that you can also pronounce blessings. Now I want to ask you, what do you do when someone asks you, oh Prabhus, please give blessings, please bless me? Most of the time we say, I'm not qualified, and we feel intimidated if someone wants this from me. We say, you can get an apple from me, but not blessings. But what do you do if someone sincerely asks you to bless you? Will you remain silent forever? Will you say forever, you can have an apple and not blessings from me? What would you do to bless? Now I would like to answer this question by giving you three points. First of all, I think as devotees we should do something for the welfare of others. We should give blessings in the form of Krishna consciousness. And we can, to the person who blesses us, we can talk, who asks us for blessings, we can talk about Krishna consciousness. A second point is, we can pray for this devotee. That is a blessing, and someone says. But a third point is something which is quite revolutionary for some of you, most probably. You can go deep into your heart and then wish the person that he may overcome the obstacles in his path and he may develop attachment to Krishna. You can do so. And it does work wonders if you pray, if you bless like this by saying, by praying, may he deep in your heart, may he overcome the obstacles, develop rati for Krishna. My dear devotees, I'm saying this because the good wishes of devotees carry us forward. The blessings of devotees carry us forward. Blessings are more important than our own endeavors will ever be. And what do to get blessings? If you want to have the blessings of someone, you should sincerely serve that person. I will now turn to Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, I've heard this wonderful story from Radhanath Maharaj, but I need one name. Who was the devotee who fanned the Lord and who spoke with the Lord? Bharadaraj Kanchipuna. Yes. There was once a very, very wonderful devotee, and with this I will end. His name was Kanchipuna. Are you from the town of Kanchipuna, maybe? No, you are not from the town. But where is the town? Kanchi?
Near Kanchipuna.
Yeah, yes. And this devotee was so advanced, he came from a Shudra background, but he was so devotional and so advanced that the great Ramanujacharya learned from him and as one of his many teachers. And his main service was, in the hot season, to somehow pull the fan so that the Lord Varadaraj would have fresh air. Now once, as a person came to him, because this person knew that Kanchipunam would speak with the Lord. They would converse on many things. Like, how did you like the food which was offered to you today? Just a very friendly talk, like friends. Oh, Varadaraj said, it was good, except that the cook thought of that young Brahmin widow who went to the well this morning. So in this way, they would talk about many, many things. Also, when there was a difficult philosophical question, the question was posed to Kanchipunam, and he would ask the Lord directly, and the Lord would answer. Now, once one devotee came and said, Kanchipunam, could you ask the Lord if I go back to Godhead after this life? I can try, I can ask, said Kanchipunam. I'm very unqualified, but next time I go. So he went and did his fanning service, and he asked, there's this devotee so-and-so, and yes, does he go back to Godhead after this life? Yes. Then Kanchipunam, after he had done his service, he went to this eagerly waiting devotee. He said, "The Lord said yes. My Lord is so merciful. By his mercy, even an unqualified man can go back to God." And like this, he was really blissful. Then Kanchi Purnam one day thought to himself, "I want to ask this question also on my behalf." So he went to Lord Varadaraj and asked, "Lord, I have asked you about this devotee, if he goes back to Godhead." "Yes," said Varadaraj. I also keep on thinking since that time where I asked this question on behalf of that devotee, what is with me? Will I develop such purity of mind and consciousness and love to you that I go back to Godhead?" The Lord said, "No." "No? No? It's a no." Then the Lord explained his no. He said, "You need to serve a devotee and get his blessings. No one would ever accept the service of Kanchi Purnam, you must know. It was known, this man speaks with the Lord. If someone would come and just do... If Kanchi Purnam would try to serve someone, they, no, you are so advanced, how can I accept your service? So Kanchi Purnam thought, he was dressed as a Vairagi all the time, he was a Vairagi, a renounced monk, he left the service of Varadaraj. He went, left the town. Which town is Varadaraj in?
Kanchipuram.
Yes, Kanchipuram. And he went to where Mahapurna stayed. That's in Sri Rangam. And before he entered the vicinity of Sri Rangam, he changed into the dress of a Grihastha. And he went to Mahapurnam and said, I want to be your servant and house servant." And then the great Kanchi Purnam served that great devotee by washing the pots, by bringing the cows out, by doing everything. For half a year he did so. After half a year, the Lord Varadaraj wanted his devotee back. He couldn't tolerate the separation any longer. And he has his ways. So he sent a huge deluge of water. It was raining and hailing, and Kanchi Purnam ran out to bring the cows to the shelter of the cow shed and brought them there. But now he was sitting in his wet clothes, which he had there. And the Lord made it very cold, chilly, chilly, cold, like Govardhan will soon become very cold, you know. Wait another 1 month and you will know it will be a little cold here. So then Kanchi Purnam thought, "Tomorrow I won't be able to do my service. I will catch a cold if I stay in these wet clothes. But I only have one extra dry set. The other set is also drying. And that's my Grihastha clothes. That's my Vairagi clothes. Here, two for washing, and the other was still drying." So it was evening, and he thought, "Mahapurnam will not see me." And he dressed as a Vairagi, and he started to sing in the night, like he would always do, and pray in the night. So this night, Mahapurnam woke up with a start. It was a thunderous night, but somehow the Lord had arranged that he heard the singing and the praying of Kanchi Purnam, who was sitting there in the shed next to Mahapurnam's house. And he heard the singing, the sweet singing, and he came close and closer. And there he saw his servant, not dressed with white clothes, but dressed in the saffron cloth of a vairagi. And he saw him singing these beautiful songs to Varadaraj. And he thought, my God, there's only one person who sings so beautiful. It must be the famous Kanchi Purnam, about whom I have heard so much, who speaks to Varadaraj. And he went to and he came closer and he said, you must be Kanchi Purnam. No, 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 no. That Kanchi Purnam dressed in his saffron clothes. But there was so much light around him and so much bhava around him that Mahapurnam said, you cheated, you have cheated me. You became my servant. I allowed you to serve me. Now, I cannot continue this relationship. I have to learn from you. Kanchi Purnam understood. It was the trick of his Lord who wanted him to be back. So he came back, traveled back, and said goodbye to Mahapurnam. And he traveled back. And when he came the next time to offer his fanning service, Varadaraj began to speak. Now you can go back. You have obtained the blessings of Mahapurnam. So by your devoted service, your menial service. So my dear devotees, if you yourself wish to have blessings in your spiritual life, then become a servant like Kanchi Purnam and get the blessings of those whom you serve. By this, the blessings flow always from up to down. So take the down position, the menial position of being a servant, and you will get blessings. You are now here students in this renowned Sanskrit Vidyapit of our Gopi Paranadana Prabhu. Please keep these points in your mind. The points are the scriptures will only open to you by the mercy, by the kripa of spiritual master and Vaishnavas, Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. The blessings will be required to open the meaning of the scripture. Blessings will be required also that the teachings will reach the innermost core of your heart and stay there in a deep place. To obtain blessings, we need to become servants people who are living in the kingdom of faith. And in this way, our spiritual life will be blessed and prakashante. There will be the light of knowledge coming from above, like rays from the sun, which will ignite the fire of Krishna consciousness within you. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to talk to you about. Let me just see in my notes. Now there's just one. But let me see. What should we do? Should we end here, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, or should we see if there is a question? One question, yeah. Nityananda Prabhu.
Sometimes how we can avoid that we are just kind of taking something from them without giving anything?
Nityananda Prabhu asks that the blessings of all devotees are required, but we cannot serve every devotee. That's not practical. Interchanges may be short, time may be short. There were many reasons why it's not possible to serve everybody. So how can we take without giving? I do not know an answer based on Shastra, so therefore I will give some on my understanding of our life. I think the blessings which I'm speaking here about are very profound blessings, and there are a few devotees whom we asked for such blessings, like our spiritual master, the Guru Parampara, and a few senior devotees. The other type of, let us say, colloquial blessings happen if you equip yourself with good Vaishnav behavior. That is, being respectful when you interchange, being avoiding offenses. Then they happen automatically. The good wishes of the Vaishnavas happen automatically. But the profound asking for blessings, you know, where it's really, where you know your life is dependent on them, these blessings will be done to a few persons with whom you also enter a service exchange. The other normal blessings, which happen automatically, happen as long as you are in good Vaishnav behavior. I want to end with one instruction, one verse, which I just wanted to say because it's so nice. Avoid talking negatively about devotees, Nityananda. That is in response to your question also. Just be a good Vaishnav. Here's a verse. For the auspiciousness of the world and the benefit of neophyte devotees, even if someone knows about Vaishnava's birth and his sleeping habits, and he knows about his laziness, he should not disclose these things in public. Rather than finding fault in the devotees, one should glorify their Vaishnav qualities. Like that. That is good Vaishnav achar. To avoid talking about the pasts, the faults, for the benefit and auspiciousness of the world. That was how it is phrased. And the benefit of neophyte devotees. If there needs to be correction, do it within the circle of devotees who can correct the devotees. But avoid negative talk about Vaishnavas in general. Talk about their good devotional qualities. And then that is a general rule which will ensure that auspiciousness, that is, the blessings, will continue to circulate in the fresh breeze of Vaishnav exchange. So positive, you have need to have good achar, and on the indirect way, avoid talking negatively about devotees. If there is need, there are circles where we, you know, we have temple presidents or devotees who can correct the devotees. But in general, never pollute the fresh breeze of positive Vaishnav dealing with negative thoughts. Let us end here because the study is also there. And I want to thank you very much. I want to, although I'm not a strong devotee at all, I want to pronounce my blessings. Krishna Matiya Rahu, may you remain in Krishna consciousness. I heard this is how Vaishnav sannyasis bless devotees. I do not know how much worth this blessing is because I'm not a good devotee, but I will go in my heart, just sincerely wish that you all remain Krishna conscious, that your life is very productive in your Krishna consciousness, that the learning which you get here will manifest in your heart, that you will be delighted by the gems which you get here, and that they enter deeply into your heart, so that in times of need, when you either preach or when you yourself need to be struggling a little bit or endeavoring a little bit to remain on the spiritual platform, that this is with you, this knowledge. No? This is our sincere wish. And I want to thank our Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, who has won all of our hearts, for his wonderful service in training you. And we hope that many of you will become qualified to serve with your Sanskrit skills the ever-expanding needs of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki, Shikiri Raj Govardhana ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hari Hari Bo. Hari Hari Bo. Hari Hari Bo.